I'm a little shaky, just bear with me. I am prepared, and I'm going to cut down a little bit of my talking. I'm going to show how many of you have been to the International House of Prayer in Kansas City? A few. And you guys are excited. That's good. How many of you have never heard of it before? Raise your hand. Okay. All right. For you guys, I have a really long promo. It's 8 minutes long. Sorry it's so long. It's our best one. And it really does give a really good overview of who we are, what we do. So it'll save me a lot of talking, and hopefully you can hear it.
For the past 12 years, a corporate prayer meeting has been going on in Kansas City. The fire of worship and intercession is still burning, night and day. The International House of Prayer has held its continuous 24 hours a day prayer watch since 1999. The prayer meetings are led by full teams, mixing worship with the prayer that continually goes up. In that time, it has grown in many different ways. Now with 1,000 full-time staff who raise their own support, a growing university and internships, a thriving conference and media ministry, and a variety of different compassion and evangelism ministry outreaches.
Naturally, it has attracted visitors from all around the world, about 100,000 a year that come here. But through all of this growth, the prayer room remains the heartbeat of all that goes on.
Mike Bickle is the director of IHOP KC. After pastoring a local church for over 25 years, in 1999, he felt the call of God to begin IHOP full-time.
It was over 30 years ago that I began my ministry as a young man in context to a Presbyterian church. And this Presbyterian church was deeply involved with Campus Crusade, and so therefore all of us were. And we were really focused on evangelism and discipleship. And then the Lord began to challenge me to add prayer to my evangelism and my discipleship efforts. And at first, it didn't feel right to me. Because if I spent time praying, it seemed like I was taking time away from evangelism. Then it was reading a book from my favorite Bible teacher throughout my whole life, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones from London, a book on revival, and he talked about prayer and how prayer would impact our efforts at evangelism. 30 years later now, I look back and I see that it's not a choice of prayer or evangelism, but our efforts are actually increased and multiplied. Our effectiveness is better if we bathe it with prayer.
We have 25 full worship teams, full-time occupation, raising their own support, inspired by YWAM and Campus Crusade, and they do 84 two-hour prayer meetings a week. And when you're in that place of prayer, it has to be enjoyable, and it has to be sustainable. And Isaiah 56 said that he will give us joy in his house of prayer. And so that we found that joy comes, and the sustaining joy to keep doing it over years at a time with music. And so we take the word and pray it in an atmosphere of music, in an atmosphere of worship. And so our intercessors, they pray the biblical prayers, and then the singers sing it. Our hearts are awakened in revelation in the Word of God. It's enjoyable. It's sustainable.
One of the unique things about IHOP is that we go 24/7. And that's great, because that means you can just walk in at any time within a 24-hour schedule, and there's prayer going on. For instance, you can walk in at 2 o'clock in the morning, and you will walk right in the middle of the night watch, which is a section that goes from midnight to 6. There are about 300 young adults that are there and just giving their hearts to Jesus in worship and intercession. And it's glorious to see at 2 o'clock in the morning, young adults giving their lost souls and their requests before the Lord in the night.
Now, you need to understand, when you come to the house of prayer, it's international. You'll hear Korean, you'll hear Chinese, Spanish, Russian, Arabic. You'll hear the multitude of languages.
The prayer room is the heartbeat of all that goes on. It's from this place that missions, outreach, training, and many practical expressions of the love of God go forth.
On our 10th anniversary, it was evident that there were a growing number of compassion and mercy ministries that were growing from the place of prayer on our mission base. And so at that time, we made the commitment as a spiritual family to combine 24-hour prayers with 24-hour works of justice.
We commit, by the grace of God, to combine 24-hour prayer for justice with 24-hour works of justice until the Lord returns.
Priority to us to partner in prayer with missions organizations across the earth. In Kansas City itself, our many evangelistic outreaches have seen many brought out of darkness into the light of Jesus. And those who are coming to the Lord have found healing and deliverance and freedom through our ministry teams who pray for many tens of thousands each year.
Training is also a critical component of the mission space. From our own Children's Equipping Center, raising up the next generation in a culture of prayer, to the International House of Prayer University, where we are presently training over 1,000 full-time students and interns.
We have a full-time Bible and ministry school, a full-time music school, and a full-time media school. And so as our students learn in the classroom, they then take their biblical and theological content and interact with it in the place of prayer. And then they take those principles and have an actual ministry setting where they can practice what they learn in the classroom.
We want to train and equip musicians, singers, worship leaders, intercessors, and just send them into the earth that the body of Christ would be enriched and that the praying church would grow stronger.
We want to be a servant ministry that helps others be strengthened in prayer. And that's what we want to do with other ministries across the world. We just want to send people to them, to join them, not to be a part of our ministry anymore, but to actually join them and what God's doing in that city to be a resource and encouragement and a servant ministry to other ministries.
Training also happens at conferences that I help host throughout the year, equipping young adults in prayer, worship, and missions.
Right now we have a particular emphasis to work with college students and inspire them into a culture of prayer. And so we're working with many different campus ministries on over 1,000 college campuses to resource them to start their own prayer meetings and sustain those prayer meetings.
The web stream from the prayer room reaches thousands every day, from individuals connecting on their mobile devices to houses of prayer who use a big screen of what is going on in Kansas City to supplement their own prayer meetings.
The faithfulness of the Lord has resulted in a vibrant community of young adults seeking the Lord on this campus, which includes the prayer room, the university, and the apartments right here that house over 700 students and staff.
The Bible tells us that God's house is called the house of prayer. Now, the house of prayer in any city is the entire body of Christ in that city. It's not just the ministries that are focused on prayer. And this is what God is doing today. He's causing the entire culture of the body of Christ to become a house of prayer, to have a prayer culture in the midst of their commitment to evangelize, build godly families, reach out to the society, and do the work of the kingdom.
All right. So that saved me a lot of talking. I actually get to skip over most of my intro because of that, which is great. So I'm going to focus mostly on one aspect of what we do, which is the prayer room and its expression on the web, which is the web stream. The web stream is pretty amazing. Just hearing the testimonies, well, I'll get into that. It's pretty amazing. So just to understand the prayer room a little bit more, again, it's 24/7. It hasn't stopped since 1999, which in itself is a miracle, I think, with power outages and all kinds of things. And so it basically, it's broken down into two-hour sets where there'll be a two-hour intercession set where we're praying for specific focuses, and then there'll be a two-hour more worship-focused set. And so the web stream is streamed live. There's no delay. It's about maybe a 10-second delay depending on which format you're in or whatever. But it's live and it's global. And that, I think, is the aspect that is really powerful, that we all know how difficult it is to have a prayer meeting at all. I know just from church growing up, prayer meetings were hard to do. It was hard to get people there. And it was near impossible to get two different churches to pray together. It just doesn't happen very often. It does happen, but just not often. And so this really is another way of corporate prayer, where we see it not just one church in one city, not just the whole city churches together, but actually the whole earth in the same prayer meeting. And it's hard for me to say that and really say the whole earth, you know, but I'll get into the statistics later, but we actually do have people in 160 countries joining in prayer, watching this thing. So it has a live component. There's also, you can rewind and kind of go back in time, so to speak, if you want to watch a different set. You know, certain sets we pray for certain things, so you may want to go and pray for, we pray for Israel during certain sets of the day that are set. And so you may want to go back and pray with us for Israel, and so you can do that. So I'm going to talk about what it takes, because this is Bible tech. We want to hear the tech, right? And so that's kind of what I do. I worked in the IT help desk for about 3 years, and I've kind of transitioned to media now. And I'm not super involved in the web stream. I'm more involved with the post-production. I'm actually kind of the storage manager that helps the editors do what they do. But I understand it, and so I get to talk about it because the guy that really does it isn't here. So the prayer room, what it takes physically, I'm going to go through each of these different things. So it takes worship teams up on the stage doing their thing, and a bunch of other stuff wrapped around that, you know, the sound guy and the screens operator and the rest of the people in the room, people praying. It takes the cameras, production, encoding, and distribution. And so I'll go through that. So worship teams, there's around 10 people generally on the stage at any given time. It's occasionally goes down to less, like our Saturday afternoons are more devotional, and so there'll maybe be like two or three people. But generally there's 10 people, and that includes the night watch. And so during the midnight to 6 a.m., there's still 10 people, give or take, on the stage. And so that includes worship leader, associate worship leader, a prayer leader, who he's the one that's directing the room and the people watching in prayer, so they know what the prayer focus is. And then you have the regular set of instruments, and sometimes more set of instruments. We've actually had all kinds of stuff. We've had hammered dulcimer up there. I mean, a lot of cool stuff. So to record that, we have 8 cameras, and we have them in a pretty cool rig where they actually have robotic controls. So we're not manned cameras, and they're not stationary. They actually do move, but there's not someone there moving it. It's all robotically controlled. And so we have placed them across the room to get good shots. And originally when we started the web stream, I don't even know when it started exactly. I think it's around 2005, 2004 maybe. We had one camera, and it was pointing straight at the stage, and it was boring, you know, because it's one shot. You can't see some of the guys are singing because they're too far to the side, and you can't see the room at all. You just see the stage. And so I think one of the most important parts is the people in the room. Like you said, even in the night watch, there's 300 people in the room praying. And so if you're the guy back home praying, you're motivated by seeing the guys in the chairs joining with you. So after the cameras, it goes to live production. So we have a couple of media trailers. They're kind of, they need a lot of work, I'll just say that. But it's really amazing what goes on in these trailers, because these are, again, manned 24/7 live production. And I'm just going to brag on us a little bit. I know this is sounding kind of promo-ish, but I don't know of any other media in the world, and someone can correct me, I'm really open to this, in the world that does manned production live 24/7. Can anyone name anything? I can't, I mean, I don't think even CNN does that, really. They have a lot of canned stuff. But to do live production... So anyways...
And are there any commercials?
There's no commercials, and it's free. We did charge... for a while, we were charging for it. We stopped charging, I think, 2009, December 2009, something like that.
How is it funded then if you have no commercials and people aren't paying for it? It's all donations.
I mean, a small portion of that is maybe like our bookstore sales. A small portion is other revenue sources, but primarily it's donation. And so Mike Bickle, our director, he's really big on giving things away. Kind of is hard for us operations guys a lot of the time when he's like giving away all of our good stuff for free. But yes, it's free. And no commercials. If you're watching, I'll just make a little, I don't want to lie. So if you're watching our speaking of teachers, we do have little bumpers on the front and back kind of promoing us and stuff like that, because you have to have a kind of a lead in. So there's that, but otherwise there's no commercials. So in the live production trailers, we have production manager that kind of oversees things, and if something breaks, they're the one that goes and gets help kind of thing. The director who's actually picking what shots, which cameras to go to. So, you know, a person starts singing, they switch cameras to cover that, you know, that kind of thing. Someone starts praying for somebody, they cover that. There's a robotic camera operator, and he's the one that kind of tells the cameras what to do. I don't understand that fully because I haven't done it. But from what I understand, they can pick different kind of scenarios based on what's going on in the room, and the cameras will follow it. And it's more complicated than that, but that's what that operator does. And just again, this is something that's really, it's not easy to pull off because there's no gear in the world designed for 24/7 operation. I'm not sure if you had to do that. So we have problems with things breaking down during the set, and so we are always pushing our gear to its max. And so these cameras is one of our areas where they're amazing when they work, but sometimes they don't, and so that's when the cameras don't move as much. So we have a master control person who kind of directs the different feeds, because we also, in addition to our prayer room, we also often have teaching events, and we... Also, I didn't mention this, but we stream on television as well. We have a partnership with God TV, and they pick us up during the midnight to 6 a.m. to kind of fill their schedule, because it's free programming, you know. And so wherever it is, midnight to 6 in the world, they are streaming us. So it actually does stream to Africa and to Europe and Asia, parts of it on satellite, and in the US it's on DirecTV. So that's kind of cool. That's another side. So master control will arrange the pickup of the feed. So we're going live at this time, you know, switch it live, that kind of stuff. So that's what master control does. And then we also have an audio engineer, and the audio engineer is in addition to the audio engineer that's in the room. So there's one in the room that's make sure all things are good there, and another one make sure it's good when it goes out. And then from there, it goes into encoding. And now this is another tricky bit, because not everyone wants to watch it in their web browser. Some people would rather watch it on their phone, on their television, that kind of thing. So, and some people have older computers, some people have newer ones, and some people have bad connections, some people have good connections. And so we want to make it as accessible as possible. So we distribute it in a bunch of different formats. Oh, I didn't even full screen. You guys didn't tell me. There we go.
It's just a technology thing.
Yeah. As you can see, I'm still recovering from my phones. So we have a flash player. We actually have a couple of them. We're constantly refining it, trying to make it better quality and more accessible, more features, being able to go back in time. That thing is kind of cool. We also have the Windows Media that is good. I play it on my TV via a computer, It'll actually, we have it playing on the iPhone. That was not easy to pull off. We figured it out. And so you can pull it up, watch it on your iPhone or iPad or iPod Touch, whatever. And we're working on an Android app and an iPad app, and there's talks of getting it on a bunch of other platforms, like on Vizio TVs and things like that. So we're constantly working to make it more accessible. And this is all of this is our goal of helping prayer go forth on the earth. And so Mike is really big on making it accessible. And so we're working on this all the time. So we also have like different bandwidth qualities. We have audio only for people that don't have video or don't want video. And so there's things in development. And we also have our video on demand archives, which is like our teachings, as well as you can go back and watch different sets for, I think, 2 or 3 weeks back. It kind of changes depending on the day, but 2 to 3 weeks back, you can go and watch, there's a really good set, a week ago Saturday, I want to go back and watch it. You can do that. We don't allow downloading, but you can watch it in all kinds of formats.
Why not?
A bunch of reasons. Copyright reasons is one for the worship songs. And if you allow downloading, lots of funny things get done with your content. But I think if it wasn't for the copyright issues, we'd probably consider it. Because we want to make it accessible. But our worship leaders, they sing a lot of their own songs, but they also sing regular worship songs. A lot of it's spontaneous, actually. I'm not going to really talk about that, but that's another cool thing is there's a lot of spontaneous worship. So that stuff would be cool, but the copywritten songs, not so good. So from encoding, we have a bunch of servers, obviously, encoding all that video. But then it gets distributed. And so distribution, it's not so bad in the United States, but if you want to hit anywhere outside of the United States, it can get tricky. If you have to pull a signal from Australia to from the United States, you're going to have probably some quality problems. So we have a CDN, a content delivery network that we pay for, that's very expensive, to deliver our content across the globe. So they have different, it's Akamai, it's the biggest content delivery network. So meaning it's available pretty much everywhere at good speed. What's that?
Who are you using
again? Akamai? Yeah. I mean, we just switched. We've used a bunch of them as we've grown, and now that we are hitting a pretty massive scale, we have to use a pretty massive delivery network because it gets overloaded, and there used to be a lot more buffering problems, things like that. So anyways, we've gotten to a really stable place finally where it's good quality for everybody. They can all watch it. And so this is the techie stuff. I'm going to get more into prayer and how these things fit together. But this is the techie stuff. So it's regionally cached. So you have servers in Australia that serve Australia, that kind of thing. So I'm going to get into some statistics that we have. And this is the stuff that blows my mind. I almost don't believe it, but the statistics don't lie. So 124,000 hours watched per week of the live. So what that means is that total people watching in a week, it adds up to 124,000 hours. That's 400 terabytes per month of data that's what we're paying for on this delivery network. That's including the video on demand. So that's not just the live for that one. And so we just launched the iDevice, the Apple streaming thing back in December, I think. And it's already 6% of our traffic and five terabytes a month, or no, a week is on iDevice. So lots of people are watching on their iPhones.
Question on the columns showing volume there, what units are those? What, is that hours?
Or yeah, sorry, I kind of stole that from someone's chart. That's, I believe, I would have to look. I actually think it's... It might be... No, I think it might be bytes or something like that. I'll have to look at... I can pull it up later and answer that. So what's interesting about that chart is it shows the live user by location. So you can see most of our users are in the U.S., which is expected, but we have a lot in Canada and South Korea. The South Koreans love us. We have probably, I'm guessing, but probably hundreds of Koreans visiting us a week. And they just love us. And you see Germany, United Kingdom, Brazil, Taiwan, Mexico. It doesn't show up on here, but I know there's a lot of people in Egypt that tune in, lots of people. 133 all other countries. There's viewers actually in, last I saw, it was 160 countries. So I'm not a geography guy. I know there's different reports on how many countries there are, but that's what I've heard. So more statistics. Unique IP addresses per month. And so this is unique internet connections. Now, this hotel probably has like one or two IPs. So that some it may be more people than this, but this is unique IPs. So 100,000 to 150,000 per month. Nations viewing 160. Daily peak viewership is approximately 10,000. Today, at some point today, there will probably be around 10,000 people at the same time watching together. So, again, I just want to bring it back to a prayer meeting, because that's what this is. That's what we're shooting for. This is a prayer meeting. And so, imagine a prayer meeting where you have 10,000 people show up, right? That's tough to pull off. It doesn't happen too often face-to-face, but we're able to do that on a daily basis. Average viewing time, this one shocks me, it's 2 hours. So these aren't YouTube clips. These aren't just checking in, checking out. This is 2 hours on average. Now, some of those are people leaving it all day. I understand that. They're not praying all day. But you see that people are actually doing this for long periods of time. They're locking in and they're saying, I'm going to pray with you guys for 2 hours and doing it. So yearly bandwidth for 2010, this was last year, it was 2.5 petabytes. And if you don't know what petabytes is, it's after terabytes. So that's a lot. And so that's, again, coming out of our content delivery network, all of the people streaming it, you know, they have a data connection of maybe 768K or 1 meg or something like that. And so it adds up to big numbers. And so our projected yearly bandwidth for this year is 6 to 7 petabytes. And it may go higher than that. We are pushing, right now our web stream is just standard definition. We're pushing to get it into HD this year, hopefully. But it's expensive to get all the cameras and all the gear to do it. You have to upgrade like everything in the chain to go there. So mobile statistics, the IHOP KC app. So I think it launched end of December. Number of downloads, first 2 months was 30,000. Number of app launches, 315,000. That's individual people opening it up. Each time it adds up. And hours of use, 903,000. So people are using it, and that's awesome. So I know that all sounded like me tooting my own horn. But honestly, I didn't do that. I just am on the team. I didn't do that. So, but I do sit in the prayer room. I do pray with them, and so I am a part of it in a significant way. So I want to talk about the biblical importance of prayer. I feel like a lot of that's already been covered. But you know what's amazing to me is that this verse here, Isaiah 56:7, for my house should be called the house of prayer for all peoples. And here we have 160 nations joining in prayer. And, you know, honestly, I don't care if they tune into our web stream or if they're praying without any technology. That's great. But here we have an opportunity to join together and pray for specific focuses and just that people are praying. You know, prayer is one of the hardest things to do for some reason. you know, it seems so simple, just kind of sit there and talk to God. It seems so simple, but it's so difficult to sustain a life of prayer. And so this is something that's helping, I think, in that battle to maintain a life of prayer and to have communities of prayer is something that's helping, where there's churches, you know, they'll have a prayer night and they lead 6 hours of it and then they turn on our web stream for the other six, you know, from their midnight to 6 a.m. or something like that. And so it's making it much more sustainable. It's really, I think, you know, I don't want to, I really try not to boast or to speak beyond my, but I think this is having an impact on the prayer culture in the church and in the globe. And so I say that very hesitantly, but I think based on some of these numbers that we're seeing, it's kind of accurate. And so I'm not saying this verse is fulfilled, not by any stretch, but we're seeing it, you know, we're seeing parts of it happening, and it's really exciting to me, you know, to see not just churches praying together, you know, but nations praying together. I mean, how powerful is that? Question?
I do have a question. Do you have an interface where you're hearing feedback from people? Yeah, so I was wondering.
And yeah, we do.
So you're getting the story.
Absolutely. We do, we have a couple different ways we hear it. You know, we have like our quality feedback of, you know, it was broken today. But we also have a testimony page where people can write in their testimonies. And so I've heard some, I haven't like read them. I'm not like the testimony reader. But I've secondhand heard a lot of them, of people, you know, in Middle Eastern countries where they can't even say that they're a believer, and yet they can tune into this and pray along with believers. And they maybe didn't have anyone show them how to pray. And here they can kind of learn how to pray by following along with us. And so I think that's a really powerful tool. You know, lots of people, I mean, I should have brought some testimonies. I'm sorry, I should have, because I think that is the most powerful thing, is to hear the testimonies and to see. And I'll just share one. It's not specifically the web stream, but it's, I wanted to talk about the way that this is bringing unity to the church, and not just this, but prayer in general is. And so just a quick story. Let me see, how am I doing on time? Okay, I'm good. Quick story. A friend of mine in the Bible school with me a couple years ago, he's from Peoria. Is anyone here from Peoria? No, okay. Anyways, he's from Peoria, and he was in the prayer room one afternoon, and he walks in and he sees someone from his home church in Peoria, Illinois, and he sees him, and he was like his youth pastor or something like that. He said, "Oh, that's cool, he's here. What's he doing here? I didn't know he even knew about this place." And so he walks around the prayer room, and he sees another group of people from his hometown, and then a third group of people from his hometown in the room, you know, praying. And he's kind of wondering what's going on. Did they coordinate this? Did they come here? And he kind of goes out to the lobby to kind of like figure out what's going on, and he sees a bus pull in from Peoria. You know, it says Peoria on the side, school bus. It's a church bus. And a whole youth group brought their like 40 kids, you know. And so they all pile into the prayer room, and he gathers up the leaders into kind of a side room, and he asks them, you know, who planned this? Like, why are you guys all here? What's going on? And they're all looking at around the room like, what are you guys doing here? You know, they didn't plan it at all. They just showed up, because, and they all said the same thing. They said, we heard there's a place where they pray 24/7, and we wanted to see it, you know. And so they brought their youth groups, and it was totally unplanned. And so there's a lot more to the story, but kind of from that they realized that the Lord was doing something in their city, and that it involved prayer. So they started praying together on a monthly basis as leaders of the church. And that was something that hadn't happened in the city. And there's a lot more to this story, because you know, they continued with it, and our Bible school was able to go and do some ministry trips, and you know, we've seen a lot of awesome things happen in Peoria because of this kind of neutral ground of prayer that they could come together on. So I think, you know, it's this house of prayer for all peoples, you know, that it's not just for the people in Israel that were in the temple. It's not just for, you know, the people in Kansas City. It's not just for a certain denomination, but it's for all people. It's not just for certain ethnic groups. It's all peoples. And that's what the Lord says, that his house is a house of prayer for all peoples. So I wish I had more testimonies, because that's the best part. So another aspect is this Luke 18:7 principle here that it's the, for those of you know, it's the parable of the persistent widow. And he says, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? And, you know, there's a principle there that the Lord hears our persistent prayers, that we need to be persistent in our prayers. And yes, there's this day and night aspect, but I think there's also this value of sustaining prayer, of continuing prayer. And I think that's another area that we're really able to help, is to be a sustainable a format of prayer, that if you're having difficulty praying, you can tune in and just join in with what we're already praying for. You know, there's a corporate reality there that you may not even have in your church, and you probably don't have at your church at 2 a.m. When you finally think about praying at 2 a.m. So it gives us, so this is what gives us the access to the government of heaven. So the Lord, the parable, it describes God as a judge, or actually it compares him to a judge, and that he will hear our prayers and that he will answer if we're crying out to him day and night. And so this is something we're actually doing. And there's a quote I'm going to share from one of the leaders that it's on one of the promo videos, so that's how I remember it. He says, he's the leader of the Night Watch. He says, I don't know really the impact of my prayers. I don't know if there's a husband who just stopped beating his wife because I was praying. I don't know the impact, but I believe that God hears them and that he will act on them. So, you know, we're praying for various things. We're praying for the ending of modern-day slavery, of human trafficking, you know, and it's a big deal. You know, it's a big deal in Kansas City, right where we're at. There's lots of sex slavery going on in our city, and we're not okay with it. And so we're praying for that to end. And we started praying in a focused way for that, I think 2009, something like that. And we were actually targeting specific cities. We started targeting Minneapolis because we heard a lot of reports. And I think it was 2 weeks after we started praying, we saw the police did a major raid and shut down a huge ring of prostitution. And then a few weeks after that, Kansas City got shut down. So, you know, we're seeing our prayers, but we don't really even know half of what's happening. We believe that it is, though.
Dick asked a question.
Yeah.
I'm just curious as to what process you go through to pick the topics you pray for. Is it a group decision, the prayer leader? I mean, what's the process by which
it's a good question.
Come up with the subject of your prayers?
So the process of picking prayer topics, I guess, it's up to the discretion of the prayer leader. So every set has a prayer leader for 2 hours. And he's not the only one praying, but he leads it. And so it's normally worked out with the worship team ahead of time. I'll pull it up in a second so you can kind of see what it's like live. But they kind of pick a topic. So typically, like Monday nights at 8 p.m. is when we pray against the human trafficking issue. And so the prayer leader gets up, he kind of prays for a while, and then they'll have other people come up and pray, and then they'll normally do like a rapid fire prayer too, where they have, you know, like 30 people line up and do like 10 second prayers, you know. So now those people that get up, obviously they can pray for whatever they want, you know, but it's kind of established in the room that this is what we're praying for at this time. So how we just establish which topics, it kind of goes through leadership. You know, for example, we have some relationships with YWAM, so during certain YWAM crusades, we'll kind of pick certain sets to pray for that. I don't know all the ins and outs of how we determine when and what, but it's generally the prayer leaders kind of establish it, and a lot of what they pick is kind of, you know, goes through different layers of leadership and things. You know, we don't pray for goofy things. You know, we pray for relevant events that are happening, or we have a lot of times we pray generally for the Church of America or for the Church of Kansas City or for things like that. That's generally like our one of our main prayers. I think it's following the example of Scripture is praying for churches, praying for cities. And so that's what we do a lot of. And so also, just a little bit more detail, we also try to, we train our prayer leaders and a lot of the other people that get up on the mic to pray. We train them to pray based out of the apostolic prayers found in the New Testament. So they will pray according to Ephesians 1:17 through 19, that God will give them a spirit of wisdom and understanding. And so we'll kind of, sometimes they'll even actually read the scripture and then pray for that for specific people. So that's kind of how it works. Let me just pull it up real quick. I know I'm getting towards the end here. I think right now it's probably an intercession set because we're 2 hours different.
Do you guys have a phone number that you can just call and listen to this? Just like instead of logging on and viewing it or going on your phone, is there just a phone number you can call?
Well, you can ask for them to put you on hold. You know, that's kind of our hold music, but no, there isn't. We don't have that. There's a lot of things that we would like to do. Like we'd like to have. No, I think we probably have thought of it. At least I've thought of it, so I'm sure somebody else has. But you know, things like radio and you know, phone calling, those are probably great ideas. I think, you know, a lot of people, at least in the United States, have internet on their phone now or some other access. So, you know, rather than waste your minutes, you waste your data plan, I guess. I don't know. But it's a good idea. So this is it. This is live right now. So another thing I didn't explain, you know, for those not familiar with us, someone will pray and then the singers will kind of sing it back to them. It's called antiphonal. And this is, it's kind of following some of the models from David's Tabernacle and the way that they did things. But it's also kind of our own thing too. So I guess it's a devotional set right now. And so that right there, that's the prayer leader. And so what she's doing is, you can see there's a scripture up on the screen. She's reading a scripture and then the singers are singing it. And so this is a devotional prayer set. And so that's kind of how it works.
You guys have a two-way when I'm behind a camera that, you know, you put it on the screen so all the singers and prayer leaders and stuff would be able to see the people that are listening to them pray and sing?
Well, we'd need 10,000 of them, you know. I mean,
just one screen like that, divide it up in a checkerboard with all the people that are watching you.
I mean, no, that's a good idea. And there's a lot of, I've thought about, like, how could we make this more interactive? How could we, you know, do we put in a chat room where they can type in their prayers, you know? How can we make it more interactive? You know, I think a lot of that stuff's coming. I mean, we've only been web streaming for probably 6 years and only really doing it legit for like 3 years. And so there's a lot of things, a lot of ideas coming out, and you know, this is the perfect place to talk about some of those. We can talk about some of those ideas afterwards. So that's kind of that's it right there. It's kind of empty right now. There must be something going on. You know, it's also pretty amazing. Our musicians and singers, they obviously get a lot of practice, because we have a lot of hours to fill. Each of them, they generally do 12 hours on stage a week, so, or more.
What happens to the prayers that are submitted?
Well, we do have a few different ways of submitting prayers on our website, and I think people can even do that. I don't think they can call on their prayers. It's hard because we get so many. They do hand out a bunch of them during certain prayer meetings for people to pray. I mean, obviously there's so many things to pray for in the earth, it's hard to cover it all, you know? And so I think a lot of them get prayed for, but I really have no idea of knowing. I'm not really involved in that. But They do hand them out, and we have like another section for like critical prayer patients. I think more specifically people that we know and are affiliate, you know, we know personally, because otherwise we'd fill, you know, books and books. But we have different times where we pray for different people, and they have like a book in the back for like people need healing and things like that.
You could consider doing a using technology to link up people who are watching this and who are willing to pray for requests that are coming from outside, and then people who have requests.
No, and actually,
you sort of click on the thing and pick one out for that one this hour, and you know.
There was an app. No, it was maybe it was an app, or I think it was a Macintosh app, or maybe it was a web app. I'm not sure. There was a program that had something like that, where it had user submitted prayers, and then you could pick, you could submit a prayer or you could pray for people. And I don't know who did that, but it was pretty cool. It just needed a lot more polishing. But I mean, there's so many different options and different things we can do. I think that we'll see a lot more of that in the coming years. I did want to talk, I know my time is up, but I did want to talk about I'm probably not going to get to it, but I really wanted to commit us as well as technology people to prayer and just kind of talk about it in a more general sense. And I knew I wasn't really going to get time to, because if I opened up about what we do, it'd take a long time. But prayer is not simply just intercession of asking for revival, but it's also our primary means of relationship. And so I'm very aware. As I was preparing for this, I was like, I don't want to go and talk about prayer and not be a man of prayer, you know. And so I had him introduce me and say that I do 12 hours a week, and that's pretty close to accurate of what I do in terms of being in the room and participating in corporate prayer. And obviously I practice prayer personally outside of that, but I really wanted to call us because I think it's prayer is a really hard thing to do. And I think the web stream and different prayer meetings you may go to really do help make it more sustainable and more enjoyable and, you know, make it more doable. But I really wanted to call us as technology people to a lifestyle of prayer. You know, I don't want to be a hypocrite and be involved in doing the things of the kingdom, but not be a man after God's own heart and be a person who seeks after him with my whole heart. And so I want to call you guys as well to that, and I don't know if I have the right to do that, but I'm going to do it anyways. And so I just want to ask you, you know, I just want to talk a little bit just about my experience in technology and prayer, and it's been hard. You know, I've been at IHOP since 2007, and you know, in a community of prayer, I just want to say it's not easy, and I know that, and I personally have to recommit myself to prayer about every other week. And so for me to commit, ask you guys to commit to prayer is not a, it's not a huge thing, but it's something I think that's important. And so, and I really see it play out in technology, that as we're developing these technologies, as we are, you know, working with our hands on physical things, or we're programming or doing our various things, to be engaged in prayer and to ask the Lord for ideas. I think I just really appreciated your talk, because it really brought like the biblical perspective of technology. And I think that so fit a lot of things. But to be involved in actively praying for those things and understand that God cares about these things. He cares about the things we do. He cares about technology. And I think it's not caught him as a surprise that we see what we see today with technology. And he wants us to take part, you know, and he wants us to pray with him. And I think, you know, the words of Jesus when he said, "Will you not pray with me for an hour?" You know, and we can do that. And he wants us to partner with him in prayer. And, you know, he is the great intercessor that always lives to make intercession for us. And he just asks that we would kind of jump in with him. And, you know, our weak little prayers and our failed attempts at doing it, you know, every, you know, an hour a day or 2 hours a day or whatever, you know, it's hard, but I think committing ourselves to prayer is a really powerful thing, and we will actually see it influence our work and what we do in our life. So I'm going to pray for you, and we'll be done. Father, I just ask right now for grace, Lord, that you would teach us how to pray, Lord, that you would teach us how to pray, that you would give us grace to pray, Lord, on a daily basis. Lord, whatever format we use or whatever model we use, Lord, whatever things help us do it, Lord, I just ask that you would help us do it. Lord, that you would strengthen us to pray, that you would strengthen us to make that commitment and to do it, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would inspire us in times of prayer, that you would inspire us to worship and to have skill and understanding. Lord, I pray that you would reveal to us your heart and who you are in prayer. Lord, that you would give us understanding of who you are. Lord, I just pray a blessing over everyone here. In Jesus' name, amen.